Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Thank you, Mike. JJ, you won the game and you still have a chip on your shoulder. What do you say? Tell everyone what you were just saying.
Oh, I was just talking to my teammates about how everybody told us we couldn't do this. Everybody said they're 8-0. You're 3-5. There's no way you're going to go into their building and win. Well, how y'all doing?
You told us before the game you wanted them in third down and long, and that's exactly what you did. What impact did that have?
Yeah, I mean, our goal was to come out here and make the Red Rifle look like a Red Ryder BB gun, and I think we did that.
Wow.
Tonight. I think he's a great player. There's a great team. But tonight our coaches put together a great game plan. We executed the game plan. Everybody did their job. It wasn't pretty. I mean, it's 10-6. It's not the prettiest game in the world. But that's a great football team over there, and we were able to do some big things on defense to help stop them to only two field goals.
Better joke. J.J. Watt saying that they wanted to turn the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, into the Red BB gun, or Alex Stein of Blaze TV asking Brittany Griner, you killed it on the court, but the Merchant of Death killed a lot of people too. What's up with that? Better joke. See, at least J.J. Watt is an athlete. An athlete funny versus real funny. There's a noticeable difference, wouldn't we all agree? Where Alex Stein's a media guy, and I feel like you should do better than that. The problem is that the echo chamber of people that like him are probably going to be like, yeah, you slay! Slay, King! Slay!
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I get that some people wanted that confrontation to happen, and I'll be honest. You've heard me talk about the Brittany Griner thing before. She did create this entire situation for herself, and I don't think we should have bent over backwards to bring her home because there was so much public pressure from celebrities, specifically athletes, calling for it, right? But, like, this is the best you can do? And people are like, yeah, the people that like him, yeah, he did great. I'm sorry. You could have had someone better than that. And instead, you have this, and I do think it's funny that this has now turned into a crisis for the WNBA. We're scared, security-wise. It's just an annoying paparazzi person. Like, it's amazing that there even is a paparazzi person that's stalking down WNBA players, to be perfectly honest.
Well, he's stalking one WNBA player.
Right.
He doesn't care about anyone else in the league.
No love for Diana Taurasi?
No.
Diana Taurasi, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite color?
What, you kill it on the court, too.
So anyway, that's on the table. J.J. Watt, by the way, he is back with the Texans organization. He had a video that he posted himself today that said, I'm a Texan, if you'll have me back. I love you, Houston. The Texans put up a video as well that was narrated by Jim Nance. I think we heard from Cal and Hannah McNair as well. And we're remembering some of the best moments of J.J. Watt's time here with the team. I get that some people found him to be a tad corny, but I think the corniness was part of the charm. I don't ever feel like he was so fake to the point that you just were annoyed by him at all times. I know some people are going to disagree with me on that, but I actually do think that there is, deep down in J.J. Watt, like a legitimate heart that's empathetic. He's a good dude that was raised in the Midwest. I think he's different than Russell Wilson, who I feel like is very fake and does good things, but I think there's a big difference. It's interesting that those two guys went to Wisconsin. Maybe a reflection on people that are from Wisconsin, Joel Blank. So just a thought, just something to keep in mind. But I am happy for JJ. He deserves to have a day that commemorates him, and good on the Houston Texans having yet another public relations win this offseason.
Can I just play again the red, like this part of the Andy Dalton shot? This part is so perfectly J.J. Watt.
The Red Rifle looked like a Red Ryder BB gun, and I think we did that.
Wow.
Tonight. I think he's a great player. There's a great team.
just such a funny thing to take a shot at him and then like, well, he's a great player, and they're a great team. Like, just immediately, like, oh,
the thing is, you know he thought that up before. Right.
100%.
He did. He did have a Captain America phase. I think what's cool about J.J. Watt is that J.J. admits that he was trying too hard there and has been very open about how he took himself way too seriously since then. I think, you know, who's done a great job, and I love this podcast, so they can really do no wrong, Sean, but Pardon My Take did a very good job in making J.J. Watt seem like a regular dude that you'd actually want to hang out with that's not going to be speaking platitudes to you at all times.
Yeah, I think with the Red Rifle thing, like, he, like, was definitely sitting on that line, and then, like, as it came out, he was like, oh, man, that wasn't a very Captain America of me. I need – he's a great player, great team. It was an ugly win, but a win's a win. Like, then he just goes straight into, like, boring football talk.
Have you ever sat on a line, Sean, like, you maybe said it to a mirror, and you're like, I'm going to say this. In a key situation, I'm going to say this.
I've definitely done that, but I haven't – most of mine where I say something and, like, as it comes out, you're like, that was not how I – like, that is not going over the way I thought it would be.
That's the entire Paul Gallant show. It's basically what goes on in my mind is the A-plus version of this show, and what comes out is generally the D-minus production.
Yeah.
And the barely passing, like, production.
Oh, before you're even done with the sentence, you're right. Like, that did not go over
I'm
well.
Like, wow, I said that completely backwards and – had incorrect grammar on all of those words, plus one mispronunciation.
Oh, see, mine is like, I'm like, I'm trying to joke with someone, and then, like, I'm like, oh, I just crossed a line. I think I, like, that. Yeah. They are not laughing as much as I
hope they were.
Yeah,
you do say, I mean, geez, you just hear Sean off the air, some of the things he says, man.
Uh-huh.
Hashtag canceled.
Yeah.
See, I notice how quickly you're speaking right now, because you know.
Yeah.
You know what's up.
No, 100%.
Paul Gallant.
Thanks for doing that.
You're welcome. You can see at 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros lost 2 of 3 to the Cleveland Guardians over the weekend, and it was pretty annoying the way that they lost the 2 of 3. Ryan Presley was on with the bench this morning for about half an hour, and you can check out that interview on the Bench podcast, and he was a part of the problem. Friday is a very annoying game looking back. They lost 10-9 in 14 innings. 14-inning games that you lose suck. Oh, I spent all this time watching this game. Here come all the baseball people that are like, actually, I like a baseball game the last 5 hours. Oh, in June on a Friday? Guess you had nothing to do that Friday, huh?
Especially, like, the way the Astros lost the 2 made it so much worse because he thought they were going to win, like, 4 different times.
What's crazy is they had multiple losses in a row where they just kept crapping themselves. Because you had on Thursday, where you had all those blunders. What were the blunders? I'm trying to think of them all off the top of my head. You had on Thursday.
Going for the double play and not getting it.
Fromber with hero ball.
Jake Meyers overrunning the fly ball to center field.
Jeremy Pena not running out a ball that was he could have made to first base.
Jose Abreu
getting caught between second and third. So that was Thursday. 4 errors. You can't do worse than that, right? Well, you had Rafael Montero doing exactly what you expected him to do in the 7th inning, giving up that home run to right field. You had Ryan Presley blowing a 1-run lead in the 9th. You had throwing errors by Jeremy Pena and Chaz McCormick in the 12th and the 13th. Saturday, you win somehow. I don't know how they did, because J.P. France gave up 7 hits and 6 walks. They win 6-4. Jose Abreu really was the star of the weekend for the Astros. He had 2 home runs. 3 runs batted in on Saturday. Dubon and Myers had some RBIs, but Presley didn't make it easy then either. You know, it was a rough last inning. And then, of course, Shane Bieber mowed down an Astros offense that without Yordan Alvarez, I think there are some questions about it going forward. So the Astros have lost 6 of 8. Luckily, the Texas Rangers didn't gain any ground on the Astros because they lost 2 of 3 to the Rays over the weekend. And you take a look ahead for the Astros, pretty favorable schedule the next 3 series. On this 9-game homestand that they have starting tomorrow, the Nationals, who are in 5th place in the National League East, the Reds, who actually have a winning record, 31-25, but are 3rd in the NL Central. Remember last year we were playing clips regularly of, like, how embarrassing the Reds were? I mean, rough year for them last season. They're competent this year?
The owner was like, yeah, if you don't like this, go to the other baseball team in town. That's right. You can't. Losers. We got you.
No, right. Exactly. And then the Mets, 31-35. So they have spent a lot of money this offseason, and they've I mean, they should be pressing the panic button. You're not pressing the panic button with the Astros. You know, I mean, the Rangers are off to a great start. Up next to the Rangers, it's the Angels, who are, by the way, only a game and a half back of Houston. That is surprising. They're 36-31. They have the Blue Jays after that, who, of course, took 3 of 4 from the Astros. They're 37-30. They play the White Sox, who stink. Then they play the Yankees, who are 38-29. The Tigers, and then the Astros to open up the month of July. So the Rangers aren't running away with it. I would say on a scale of a Nick Cage scale of panic, 1 to 5, 5 being most panicky, 1 being least panicky. I'm at a 2. I am just concerned about where Yordan Alvarez is going to be going forward. Dusty Baker said of him being placed on the 10-day injured list that is a big man with some big muscles that he uses. So might be out a little bit longer than we hope. Takes a little bit longer if you're a bigger man to rehab those obliques. But he should talk to the Pilates Illuminati of Houston. There's a lot of Pilates instructors in Houston.
I wish I knew, like, someone who actually knew, like, I don't know, sports science, like the physical science. And just, like, I would just send them these Dusty Baker quotes and be like, is this true? Like, what? It doesn't feel like it's true, but it could. I mean, you would think you know a little bit more about injuries, considering he's been in baseball for 50 years.
I have a friend who's an orthopedic surgeon, and I should just send him all these things because he's somebody that has a short temper and low tolerance for BS, and I think he would lose his mind seeing all these things, which is kind of funny. It'd be fun to get some good content from the good old doctor friend of mine who will remain anonymous. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Coming up next on the Paul Gallant Show, who is the most punchable mascot in sports? That person probably had a better weekend than the Miami Heat mascot. Don't go anywhere. You'll find out that story next.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A couple of comments from the last segment, 713-780-3776. We touched on a couple of things. Astros have lost 6 of 8 before they have a 9-game homestand starting tomorrow against Washington. Some comments on that front, from King of Twitch, this team is throwing 4 rookie starters, a rookie second-year catcher, 2 young players at center field, and a rookie bench. Going to lose some games. Oh, and injuries. I don't think it's a matter of whether or not they're going to lose games. I think it's a matter of, by playoff time, are they going to be in position to win the division? And take themselves out of the possibility of being eliminated before the playoffs actually begin, the American League Championship Series. That could potentially happen if they don't win the division. And by the way, just take a look at the American League East right now, and hell, take a look at behind the Astros in the AL West. It is a crowded field as things currently stand for the American League playoff race. There are 4 teams in the American League East that seem rather likely to be in the wild card race at the end. Hell, you could maybe make an argument for the entirety of the division.
So the Toronto Blue Jays are 37-30. The Astros are 37-29. So
right.
They have basically the same record. The Blue Jays are 4th in their division.
Yep.
And 10.5 back from the Tampa Bay Rays.
Right.
Now, the good news, I guess, is for the Astros is, so the number one seed, probably out of reach.
Tampa Bay Rays, 48-20 right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the AL Central, though, the leader is the Minnesota Twins at 33-33.
They're 500, right.
And so it's going to be the 2 top seeds, or the 2 top division winners.
Right, they get the bye.
Get the bye. And so,
so it's definitely not coming from the Central.
You do not have to worry about the Central. So
but,
all you have to do is, all it is win the division.
But the Central do get a playoff spot.
They do get, no, they get a playoff spot, but
right.
It's not, I guess, yeah.
That's what's annoying, though.
What I'm trying to say, Sean,
six playoff teams, right? The Twins get one of them, or whoever wins the AL Central gets one of them. Yeah. They could be sub 500, but the American League East. Like, if you're in the wild card race, you're competing with, right now, Baltimore, New York, Toronto, and the Angels. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That's a lot. It's a crowded field.
Because right now, it is the Astros would be the last playoff team in.
Right. Not ideal. So that's what we're thinking about. I don't think this is a matter of, are they going to be able to make it to the finish line? This is a rough stretch, but we've seen in every single World Series year that they've made it there. They have had at least three stretches like this.
I would just say the difference is that they're behind in the division and having a stretch like that has not happened, especially being five games back. That has not happened.
And injuries to specifically their best batter and numbers offensively that put them in the middle of the pack, if not below the middle of the pack. OPS and runs scored.
There is a possibility that they've seen, like, we've already seen the worst of the Astros, or at least the toughest stretch of the Astros, given the injury situation of the team and the fact that they just played 17 games in 17 days. Like, that by the end of it, you're going to be worn down no matter what. So there is a chance that that's just, like, this was the rough patch, and now the Astros are going to play above what they've shown right now and can at least make up ground on the Rangers. And then if the Rangers – listen, I'm not an expert on the Texas Rangers. I don't know what their schedule is. I assume that if the Astros had a stretch where they played for over 2 weeks straight, I imagine the Rangers also have a similar stretch at some point in the season.
Up next for the Rangers, the Angels, who are good. The Blue Jays, who are good. The White Sox, bad. Yankees, good. Tigers, bad. Then the Astros. So three of their next five series are tough, and they just lost two or three to the Rays over the weekend. The problem is the Guardians are not good, and you lost two or three to them as well. So you didn't gain any ground on the Rangers. I think we're all in the same place where we are more respectful towards the Rangers. Are we still taking them seriously? I think that remains to be seen. The DeGrom injury, that was something that they were counting on as a reinforcement as the season wears on. They don't have, in my estimation, the top-to-bottom pitching that the Astros have. But right now, the Astros do not have anywhere close to that Rangers offense with that absurd run differential that they have right now.
Yeah, the idea is that the Texas Rangers right now, if we're doing the Texas Rangers show, it's so far in the season, A+.
Yeah.
Like, you could not have hoped for a better start.
Plus 149 run differential. That's tops in baseball. That's even north of the Tampa Bay Rays.
As opposed to the Astros, where they're five games back. And what would we give this season? Like, C+?
C.
Yeah. And so if you just consider that, well, there's probably going to be the Texas Rangers likely will not remain at an A+ for 162 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's just things are going to happen. Yep. And you'd assume that the Astros do better than the C+ that they've got so far through the season.
Right. And they're going to probably need to do something. King of All Twitches says the bats are bipolar. Yeah. I mean, that's where you're at pretty much with these bats. Todd, the show is pointing at Kyle Tucker. From the 409, the Stros have the yips. Yeah, the bats aren't doing well. And I think it's compounded when Dusty Baker gives multiple guys off days the same day, which has happened a couple of times of late. Yesterday it happened too. Altuve and Pena, are you good enough to win without both of them in the lineup? You got to stagger these off days. I don't understand that. Pena just had an off day a little bit ago. Not to say that Pena was going to be the deciding factor, but it's strange that with your arm already tied behind your back due to Yordan Alvarez being out, you're doing more hand tying in a situation where you're not winning the division by 10 games.
Yeah, that's the point that you made. I think you made it last week during the Blue Jays series that, yes, Dusty Baker did the same thing last year. We would scratch our heads and like, why is he giving two guys, like two of the good players, the day off on the same day and then no one the next day? Why not stagger it more? And the point that you made that I thought was a good one that I hadn't thought of is that, you know, last year they were winning the division the entire way. This one, they're going to have to chase down the Rangers. So if you can cut the fat of, you know, the little lineup quirks when you're winning, they're quirks. When they're when you're losing and you're behind the division, they're issues.
Right.
And so if you can just not make the, you know, the own goals in that way, that's something that they can clean up.
100%. Speaking of off days, you would think an 84-year-old man who gets hit by foul ball in the middle of work would perhaps take the rest of the game off. That is not the case of Yankee broadcaster John Sterling, who I do actually love dearly, despite him being a Yankee broadcaster. Here is John Sterling getting drilled in the face by a ball and continuing the broadcast.
And Holmes at the belt. And now the 3-2 swung on, a pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far. So once again, it'll be a 3.
Incredible. I mean, he just seamlessly transitioned back into calling it. And I think even more importantly, professional broadcaster gets hit in the face by a ball, does not swear. He just says, ow, ow, ow. And there's video of it. You can watch the video yourself.
He gets smoked.
He gets hit pretty hard. And he's 84. I would imagine that, you know, when you get up there in age, the bones, a little less cushion, if you will. Like, you might have the osteoporosis. You might be like Sally Field needing to take Boniva because all of a sudden you've got a little osteoporosis going on. And John Sterling continued through the broadcast. And we give him a lot of grief because he messes up some home run calls from time to time. I love John Sterling. I think his voice is amazing. I love the corny jokes that he makes on the broadcast. At least he tries to have fun on a baseball broadcast and has a voice that actually sounds like what your local radio play-by-play voice should sound like.
Ow! Ow!
That's pretty good.
Just saying ow is so, like, I don't know the last time I've been hurt and I've just gone, ow!
Ow!
Normally, yeah, like you said, it's a word you can't say while broadcasting a Yankees game.
He's so much better than Michael Kay. So much better. Michael Kay has like a primetime afternoon show on ESPN too. I don't get that. How? Still coming in second to when Mike Francesa was falling asleep on the air. Anyway, no one cares about New York sports media talk. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The one last story, I did tease this. During game 4 of Heat Nuggets, Conor McGregor was brought on court for a skit. Bernie, Miami's mascot, was out there to help Conor McGregor promote his pain relief spray. And McGregor punched Bernie so hard that he had to go to the emergency room. And if you watched it, his arms were kind of like, he had concussion arms when he got knocked out.
Because he got punched like standing up, and then Conor comes in with one, like, how you see in the UFC when a guy's down and they like ground and pound to finish him off. He gives him another shot when he's already on the ground.
And you know McGregor took great joy in the fact that he could absolutely pummel somebody and it was a part of a promotion. I hope that he pays this poor mascot, because the mascot has to just take it. And those things are not, contrary to popular belief, that padded. You would think that with the way that he punched him, you would think that he's wearing like football pads underneath it. Nope. He's just wearing a mascot suit and has no ability to protect himself at all. I just got to take it. And I'm just imagining most mascots are small people. Most of them are small people. Not all of them, but a lot of the mascots are generally. And it's not like Conor McGregor's a big guy either. But again, we know Conor McGregor's a sleeping killer. Yeah, he's a fighter.
He's a world-class
fighter.
He's a fighter.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's absolutely drilled him.
So yeah, no. Bernie's not doing his job if, especially in Miami, he does not have a shady injury attorney already, like, and is already trying to get money out of Conor McGregor, out of the Miami Heat, out of everyone. If you're Bernie, you need to be suing people like today.
Yes, 100%. He's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Get that money. Ow, 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 said the Miami Heat mascot as he got punched by Conor McGregor. Ow, ow, ow. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
We're all over the place on a Monday. The most interactive sports talk show in Houston came into the studio today to see DJ Khaled on a wakeboard being discussed by First Take.
and also the other content that we have to work with that was on the front page of ESPN. ESPN making it a big deal that Brittany Griner got paparazzi'd while flying commercial with the Phoenix Mercury by some guy named Alex Stein, who I guess is a YouTube troll, to be specific. And I was thinking to myself, who's more of a hack? Is it Alex Stein with his, hey, Brittany Griner, you killed it on the court, but the Merchant of Death killed people. Your thoughts? Or is it DJ Khaled just yelling DJ Khaled at the beginning of a bunch of songs that he was not involved in at all, but also getting credit as this like great DJ who I think deserves all the scorn in the world for publicly saying that he does not take his lovers where they need to go. I think that's a major red flag on somebody who looks like him. I'm sorry, you have to work for it, sir. You have to work for it. I get it. You have money. Nope, you have to work for it. You should have to work for it. And bragging about how you don't, disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
I think it's a like lost in translation thing, because I think he thinks it's disgusting that, that other people do it. I think it's both sides are like we're two worlds, you know.
Yeah,
where he's like, how do people do that? That's insane. I'm DJ Khaled. Major key. Another one. I imagine he sprinkles those in real life.
I think it's horrible that some people go through life thinking that their pleasure is not as important as their partner's pleasure, and it's because of the mentality of a hack, again, fat hack like that, who doesn't do those things. And I will be personal with him. I think it's outrageous that somebody who looks like that is not doing everything they can to make their significant other happy. Just like I think it's outrageous that people think Jack Stein has talent. He doesn't. That was terrible. His job is to troll people. Do a better job of trolling people. At least have a slow build. There was no slow build there. It was just right away. We played the video already in the show, but it was just like, hey, Brittany, here's a bunch of terrible jokes. Hey. Like any drunk person at Bush Intercontinental Airport could do that. You know, send them to the United Lounge for a little bit. Get them all lubed up. Come on out. Get your camera out. Boom. You could do the exact same thing. I'm not saying do it, by the way. I'm not saying be the paparazzi, because the paparazzi are the worst. The TMZ people pay them for those videos. What? How? Why? That's not good. None of this good content.
The whole TMZ business model makes no sense to me.
Oh,
like I get it for some stuff that they're like, yeah, we'll pay for the like Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole video. But then they also pay for like you said, just like random people to walk up to like Real Housewives and ask them about random stuff that no one cares about.
Right.
No one cares about their opinion about.
Mm-hmm. No one. No one cares about it at all.
Hey, you excited to see the new Oppenheimer movie?
You know what?
Hey, that's Vanderpump Rules. You excited?
If I see J.J. Watt out and about, what question should I ask J.J. Watt? That would be, again, we're not asking for much. Just north on the talent scale of Jack Stein with Brittany Griner, north on the talent scale of DJ Khaled at any moment of his life.
Hey, J.J. Watt, J.J. Watt, did you hear that Livy rizzed up baby Gronk? You hear about that one?
And I feel like J.J. would try to give a thoughtful answer to that.
Yeah, I feel like it's a, like, he, like, thinks about like answering it, and then he just smiles and like laughs and shakes his head.
Do you know what I would want JJ to do to someone like that? I would want him to say, that's a stupid question. Like, that's it. All these people have to do, they all want to be liked and they want to be nice. And I know JJ is who I like JJ a lot. I really do. It would be nice if JJ was allowed to break character from time to time and not feel the pressure to constantly please everybody and could just say, that question is stupid, and I hope you die.
If it was like a like 90s, early 2000s sitcom, there definitely would have been like the stretch where like he dyes his hair black and it's like dark JJ.
Dark JJ, I love that.
And he's like, bleep you. Bleep off.
It would have been pretty funny if JJ...
Andy Dalton, you suck. It's like, actually, I'm just describing him, like, turning into a wrestling heel is all.
What if somebody did, like, the reverse Slim Shady, like, of just going really short black hair, if you're J.J. Watt? Like, reverse Slim Shady.
Helping an old lady across the street, then steals her purse or something? Dark J.J.
Honestly, I'd be here for that character.
Anyway, this is probably where, and J.J. Watt announced that he's coming back to the Texans. I'm very happy about that for him, and I'm happy for the Houston Texans that they were able to make this happen. It's been a really nice offseason for them. I get it. They got to do stuff on the field. But we all remember this moment as probably like peak. Okay, J.J.'s kind of annoying from Hard Knocks in 2015. This is from a scene where J.J. Watt is lifting and moving tires around on Hard Knocks.
I flipped a tire for the first time, I think, 2 years ago. Just one flip. I mean, it was all I could do. Last offseason, I did it 30 times in one day. And then this offseason, I hit it 51 times. And at that point, I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to top that. That was a crazy day. And then 2 weeks ago, I hit 65.
Uh-oh. First, I got my Gatorade, so I'm good. Second, let's go.
Yeah. DJ Khaled! I like how you just cut the music out right away.
No, that was just good timing on your part.
Oh, I hit the post?
Yeah.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Who the hell is he anyway? He never really talks much, never concerned with status, but leaving him starstruck, humbled through opportunities given despite the fact that many misjudge him because he makes a living from going up to people like Brittany Griner and asking them horrible questions with the terrible joke about Vladimir Putin and the Merchant of Death.
Wait, is that the other part of that song?
It is. That's the second verse? Second verse. Second verse is about noted hack Jack Stein.
Oh, you know, 10% luck, 20% skill, 15%, all that. That gets all the love. I didn't know it had such deep meaning in the verses.
I wish it was a slow build ask up to the question. Instead, the way he did it was annoying. And there's actually some defenders of Jack Stein. Like, oh, yeah, people are talking about him online. Yes, because I like to dump on people that I think have no talent. That's what I love. I do.
Yeah, no, that's a very 2023 thought, is to be like, yeah, sure, everyone thinks I suck and is making fun of me, but hey, I'm going viral.
Hey, listen.
People are talking.
He's clearly getting paid, and it's proof there's no God when it comes to, like, media, the media game, right? Like, I'm an underachiever for my career, and I hate that this guy has made it big, but, I mean, if you're going to do this for a living, and you know that she's going to be there, and you're building up to this moment in time, you got to have better material than that. That's all I'm saying.
Or at least more material. Like, have some more. You're not Mariano Rivera, all right?
Right.
You can't make a career off of one pitch.
You're not Bill Burr going up to this person and just absolutely destroying them, you know, with a camera on. But this wasn't good.
Throw a fastball, then maybe a slider, a change.
Yeah.
Like, more than just like, hey, Merchant of Death, right? Am I right, folks?
Yeah, exactly. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5. And 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. We wrap up the show next with a little bit of garbage time. And I guess things aren't working out for a former Houston Rocket. You'll find out why next.
Listening to the Sean Mabe Show on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's my favorite sports radio host of all time, Sean Mabe, and his assistant.
His assistant, Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. June 12th, 2023. Where were you when JJ announced that he was coming back to the Houston Texans? You were probably sitting in your car, driving into work, listening to The Bench, talking with Ryan Presley. Check out that podcast, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. J.J. Watt announced that he's coming back to the team. The organization put out a video with a little tribute to him. And I think this was a long time coming. And it's another public relations victory for the Houston Texans. As far as the Houston Astros go, they lose 2-3 over the weekend to the Guardians. Friday was a very frustrating loss, much like Thursday. Just 4 blown opportunities. Errors by Jeremy Pena and Chaz McCormick. It's been a rough month for Pena. A lot of bad moments. The half-assing in on the way to first base. Everyone goes through months like this.
And, of course, you had some more of the Rafael Montero show and Ryan Presley blowing it as well, seventh and ninth inning, respectively, Friday. And then yesterday, Shane Bieber shut the whole Astros lineup down. And you want to question Dusty Baker for benching both Jose Altuve and Jeremy Peña for a day off? That's fair. Jose Abreu carried you this weekend offensively, so it sort of goes to show you where the Astros were this weekend, which is not in a good place.
Should I take the victory lap on Jose Abreu with my tweet after the absolutely horrific base running error and being like, "Hey, Jose, we still believe in you." And
good
then,
for you.
Since then, all he's done is hit home runs.
You are the one believer.
I bought in at zero when the stock price was like half a cent,
right?
And now it's like 3 cents.
I'd say 13 cents.
Okay,
it's gone up a little bit.
This fake stock market.
Hey,
that we're doing.
Listen, that's how Dogecoin started. You know, like
to the moon, baby.
To the moon.
And all the cryptocurrency stuff worked out in the long run, right?
It did.
I haven't kept up with it, since 2020.
Did. Yeah, I don't either. Speaking of cryptocurrency, I don't know if that's how Dwight Howard is getting paid to play basketball in – do we recognize Taiwan? I don't know. I don't know how this show's official stance is, but that's where Dwight Howard
is – to be more educated on the subject.
– is playing basketball. That's true. We need to be more educated before we speak more on it. Dwight Howard's team in Taiwan wants him to take a 65% pay cut on his next contract. Is that so that they can sign all the players that Dwight was – asking if they wanted to go play basketball with him?
Why doesn't Saudi Arabia make a basketball league?
That's a great question.
I don't want to be the one to ask. I don't want to give them any ideas because I know they love listening to the Paul Gallant show. But I don't know. Feels like they wouldn't be asking the players to take pay cuts.
I was listening to a podcast, Sean. Funny you bring that up. Of all the teams in the NBA that could be had by the Saudis, can you guess what's close to number one?
The Rockets?
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, yeah. That makes
most
sense.
Of their money is just the value of the organization.
Their family business.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious if the Lakers got bought by the Saudis. It would be hilarious. You know who else isn't that far off from that? New York Yankees. Wouldn't it be really funny if the Saudis owned the Yankees and Lakers?
Come on.
I kind of want it to happen.
It really is crazy how just having like several hundred billion dollars, you can do a lot of really funny stuff with it.
We're getting close to the moment in time where someone from the Middle East will own a major American sports team. If the PGA is going to bend the knee, you think these other teams aren't going to?
Yeah, you think the Orlando Magic are too good for, I don't know. you think the Portland Trailblazers are turning their nose up at?
Probably not. To go back to Dwight Howard and the 65% pay cut that the former Rockets team wants him to take, the CEO said with a new incentive package, he hopes Howard can play seriously and play hard. I guess he's not doing that in Taiwan.
No. Dwight Howard? No.
Not working
hard? Not serious.
Speaking of Sirius, Mariah Mills seriously needs to put her phone away because she's still going. This is Zion Williamson's
scorned
sex buddy.
Yeah.
That he pays good money. She is actually was posting on Twitter, which she's still posting to. She was posting screenshots of wire transfers that Zion gave her. And we're talking like $107,000 wire transfers. It's a lot of money. She was getting an $107,000 a month allowance. She better be really good at things because I do not think that you are getting your money's worth, Zion Williamson.
And you know what? If I'm her and I got no heads up that the money train was ending, can see how she's upset. I was penciling in $100,000 a month. I was just for the next 12 months. I thought I was budgeting with that money in mind.
But here's the thing. At some point, you got to know this is going to come to an end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
But I guess it was the abrupt nature of it, maybe.
She's making a horrible choice. Like, she's getting a lot of publicity here, but everyone's going to forget about her 2 weeks from now,
And also, it's not like a situation where you would think that's like, oh, she'll just find another basketball player to subsidized her life. Because if you're a basketball player now, you don't want anything to do with this woman.
Probably not.
you see how she reacts?
She's going to blow your spot up.
No, that's the whole point of paying these women is that, you know, what's the hacky, like, businessman line or whatever where, like, you don't pay them for the pleasure. You pay them to, like, be quiet about it.
Exactly. And she played this horribly. Look. Yeah.
Short-term game, long-term loss.
Hey, Toots, have you ever heard of... I think I can call her that. I mean, she's basically like confirming.
Yeah, just a very funny way to start it.
Hey,
listen,
you dumb broad. I'm just kidding. I would never say that. But listen, lady.
Did Don Draper just walk in?
It's the 60s again. Listen, lady, you had the upper hand here. You had ultimate blackmail and leverage. Oh, he posted that? You could have threatened to blow him up. You get more money out of this. What? Did you think that this was love? He's legitimately giving you an allowance to visit him when he's on the road. Like, this is... I get it. You're young. He's young. But just think about what's happening here. And think about how you could have played this and how instead you chose to play it. You're getting your 15 minutes of fame here. I hope that it increases your OnlyFans subscription. Honestly, based off of what I'm seeing, like, I don't know that it will. Because I feel like you're actually making people take Zion Williamson's side here in a situation where he has a baby mama and somebody on the side who he is legitimately seemingly paying for sex. They are taking his side over yours because of how you're acting, which is really, really incredible when you stop and think about it.
And I think she had the, you know, at the very least, not people on her side, but people just being like, wow, that's crazy. Like, you know, like not actively against her. I want to say until, like, Saturday, and she just kept tweeting.
Kept going.
Because it started, what, on, like, Thursday?
Right.
It's, like, all weekend you're doing? Like, I feel like it was a little bit, like, all right, we're kind of, like, you're kind of doing too much now. We all kind of feel bad for Zion.
At a certain point in time, put the phone down. And I would say for all of us, when you're going through your feelings, put the phone down.
How about just, never tweet when you're going through
never
your feelings.
Never tweet. Never text. Just put the phone down.
You know the subtweet that you're going to write about, like, man, some people in the world take you for granted, blah, 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 blah. Don't tweet that.
Don't
no one cares.
It. Don't do it. There's that, too.
No one's going to be on your
people
side.
People do care here, but they care the way that you did not think.
Yeah. Also, you're not Zion and Mariah Mills. Like, people don't care about your squabble.
The Unabomber, dead. Seems like he killed himself. Good. It's the update on the Unabomber. In case you were wondering, he died over the weekend.
Bad guy.
Bad guy. Jodie Comer is getting rave reviews for her performance in a one-woman Broadway play, Prima Facie, but her June 7th performance was cut short due to the air quality crisis in New York City. She told the audience she couldn't breathe because of the air. A stage manager helped her off stage about 10 minutes into the performance. The show resumed from the top shortly after with her understudy. Soft. That's all I got. Paul Galacho, that's going to wrap things up. Big thanks to our Twitchers, our Texters, and our callers. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!